this morning we are talking about the resurrection. Are you surprised? I was having coffee this week with a pastor, and I was half joking. I said, "So what are you preaching about this Sunday?" And he kind of made a funny face like he was trying to think about it. And I was like, I mean, there's just one point. He is risen, y'all. And that's it. So this morning, I don't want to take time to try to convince you that there was a man who lived named Jesus and that he actually died and he actually rose. I've done that in years past. I would recommend going to our website and searching past sermons on Easter, and you'll find plenty of that. That's not my goal this morning. I will tell you this. I'm a simple man, and I believe this, that if it was as simple as just proving there was a body, somebody would have by now. But there's not, because he rose from the dead. So I'd rather talk to you about not that Jesus rose from the dead, but let's talk about who actually rose and what that means for us today. It was about a month or so ago that Pastor Bridget, back in early morning prayer, she was reading through names of God, and I'm trying to think, I was going to try to actually do an impersonation, but I'm not good at it. She said, at some point she was like reading this list of names, and she just said something along the lines of like, "I could just read all of these, but there's so many. You just do your research and ask the Lord which one he wants you to highlight." And so I did. And since that day, I've not been able to get away from this name for God, Jehovah Sabaoth. It's not a mispronunciation of Sabbath. It's S-A-B-A-O-T-H. It's pronounced Sabaoth, and it means Lord of hosts. Some translations say the Lord of angel armies. Chris Tomlin fans in the room are now singing the song that he wrote about that, right? The God of angel armies is by my side. He's Lord over all. In the NIV, you will read the phrase Lord Almighty. That's this name for Jesus. He is Lord Sabaoth. And so this morning, what I want to talk to you about is the resurrection. When he rose again, like, he was already Lord of all, right? But this was just the moment when God said, we're going to validate this to everybody's going to know, like, not only you're Lord over all, you're Lord over death, you're Lord over life, you're Lord over it all. He is the Lord of hosts. And let me share with you one scripture. I've got about a million scriptures I'm going to read to you, but one that we're going to put up on the screen. It's Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. I love this story. This is right before the people of God went to Jericho. It says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand." I don't know what you would have done if you just like look up and see a man with a sword, right? But Joshua said, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Good question, Joshua. Yes? Are you here with a sword to kill me or to help me, right? And listen to the answer. "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord," that's our name for Jesus, Jehovah Sabaoth, "as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Listen, I could go totally off script and just preach about that. Some of you in the room, some of you that are watching this online, you need to know this, that there's a God and he has command over everything, including all the angel armies, and he is saying to you, wherever you are, whatever you're facing, "I have now come." There's hope in that, y'all. Amen. Amen. "Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence." It's interesting, I preached this years ago, because what captivated me in this passage is that there's a man with a sword drawn, and Joshua has asked him, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And the man still has not answered the question. And he still has a sword drawn. And what did Joshua do? He fell face down to the ground in reverence. And he asked this question: "What message does the Lord have for his servant?" He recognized who he was. And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Can I just tell you this? The Lord is too powerful to pick sides. We live in a divided culture where not only are we divided, but we celebrate the divide. We do all that we can to drive a deeper wedge between people. And I want you this morning to stop thinking sides, and I want you to start making space. We don't have a God who says, oh, I'm Republican. No, I'm Democrat. I'm this or I'm that. I'm Tar Heel or Blue Devil or today. Just please be for the Wolfpack. Right? I mean, do you see how, like, we just keep wooing God? We try to woo him to our side. If you'll be on my side, I'll even read Leviticus. He said, I'm not on your side. So you're against me. No. I need you to be on my side. That's what God says. I need you to stop thinking sides and start making space. He said, take off your sandals because the place, the space where you are standing is holy. Stop trying to get me on your side. Stop trying to convince me that you're a good Christian. Would you just make space for my holiness in your life? Here's what happens when we do that. Isaiah chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, two they covered their feet, two they were flying. That's freaky. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. What name did they use? They said, holy is Jehovah Sabaoth. And when they called out to who he was, look at verse 4. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. I would submit this, that our testimony about the Lord of hosts causes a shaking that releases power and people. They didn't tell him he was holy. They told each other. You see that? They're calling out to one another, holy, holy, holy. Holy. They were recognizing he's Lord over all. And when we testify about the greatness of our Lord, things start to shake. Just the fact, some of y'all are here this morning, you're like, I'm not sure about Jesus. I'm so glad you're here, right? And because I'm all in on Jesus, right? So don't let my all inness think that your questions aren't welcome here. I'm just glad you're here. But some of you won't get that visual out of your mind this morning. You won't get six people getting in a tank that was wet and in front of strangers and people clapping. You're like, what was that about? That's our testimony about holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it releases his power and it releases his people. And I'm just here for a God like that. Like, I want to be on his side, right? Hey, God, wherever you're going, I'd like to go with you. I'd like to be in your bubble, your space. So I started thinking, like, we sing that song, This Is How I Fight My Battles, right? How does God fight his battles? Can we ask that question this morning? How does the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, how does he fight? So here we go. You ready? Jot these scriptures down. Number one, he fights for us. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says this, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army that they were getting ready to face. For the battle is not yours, but God's. He fights for us. He fights with us. Psalm 46:7-11. You might know Psalm 46 for verse 10 that says, be still, right? We just heard that read during baptism, but here's two times in that psalm that he says this, the Lord Almighty, that's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's like, hey, we're going with him. He's with us. 1 Samuel 17, when David is going out to face Goliath, right? He says, you come against me with all these things that you're saying, all these curses, but I come to you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth. He said that as he's slinging, right? I come to you in the name of, it's probably some song he wrote about that. And he starts running at the enemy. Why? Because he knew that as he was running towards Goliath, so was the Lord of hosts. He was with him in battle. And he fights through us. John chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Jesus said this, everyone who drinks this water of a well will be thirsty again. But whoever, turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a whoever. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In the Greek, it literally means it will become like a geyser. I have old family video footage of our family going to see Old Faithful. I don't know if you've ever seen that geyser or not. It's literally Old and Faithful, right? Like on every hour, on the hour when it's supposed to, it just blows up. And all I heard on the video was us going, when's it going to go? When's it going to go? Power, right? And the Bible, Jesus says that power is now is in us. He wants to fight through us. But if he's going to fight through us, then y'all, he's got to get in us. And that's what brought me to the Death Star and dynamite and detonators. Have you ever, maybe I'm the only one that asks God these kind of questions, but I found myself in the last couple weeks asking God this question. Why did you have to be buried? I'm sure that there's theological reasons, and I'm sure that there are prophecies. I'm sure of all that, but like, just give me a little bit of freedom, right? Why did he have to be buried? Well, he had to defeat the enemy. Okay, Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So when he dies on the cross, Colossians 2:15 says he's made a public spectacle of the enemy. He's already triumphed over them on the cross. So in my head, right, bear with me, I'm simple-minded, okay? I'm saying to God, like, then why didn't Jesus just die and then go, all right, just pop off the cross? That would have been something. Wow, a lot of people wetting their pants that day, right? Just pop off the cross and be like, all right, well, I've triumphed over him, so let's get on with what's next. Why the tomb? Because sometimes to take something down, you've got to get in. So Jesus, check this out. Dead on the cross, the Bible records that friends came and they took him off the cross and they wrapped his body and they placed him in a tomb. And I believe that when they placed him in that tomb, a three-day fuse was lit. And for 3 days, it burned. And on Sunday morning, it exploded. Stones rolled away. Jesus walks out. John chapter 12, verse 24 says this, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I wanted to blow something up this morning. I told Pastor Bridget, we were talking about this week, I was like, I just want to blow something up, and I can't figure out how to do it without destroying the building and possibly killing people. So we're not going to do that, right? But if just imagine with me, in every movie that I've ever watched where something has to be destroyed, Star Wars has the Death Star. Armageddon, there's this giant meteor, right? If you've seen that movie, and Bruce Willis, it's like, it's the only time Bruce Willis makes people cry, right? Like, There's Independence Day. There's like the crazy guy that has to, like, they all have a nuclear bomb and they have to fly it as far up into that thing that needs to be blown up so that when it detonates, it takes everything out. I started thinking about, like, Star Wars is like that. And so I'm going to show you a clip. It's about 2 minutes long. We're picking up in the very beginning, and it's an old movie, right? I mean, I've gone, where are my Star Wars people? Okay. I've gone back to the original. I told my preacher friend this week, I was like, I feel the pressure as a pastor to try to tell the same story in a different way so that people are just wowed by it. But listen, at the end of the day, our text this morning is ancient. And truth is still truth, right? And so we're going to go back. I want to show you a two-minute clip. We're going to pick it up. It's bad movie stuff, y'all. It's bad. Like, you can see, you can tell where the green screen was, all that stuff. But we're going to pick it up with Luke Skywalker going into the valley, approaching where he's going to try to take out the Death Star, and then I'll come back. Movies have come a long way, right? But the story, y'all, is what I want you to remember. The Lord of hosts wants to fight through us. He had to be placed in a tomb, like planted as deep as he could. There's discussion about what happened on Saturday. Some people say that Jesus went down to hell. Some people say, I don't know if Jesus would ever go there. I think Jesus went as deep as he could go because he knew that he wanted to plant the resurrection power of God as deep as he could so that when that fuse was ignited, the kingdom of darkness would experience what we just saw happen to the Death Star, just blown to smithereens. Smithereens is a Greek word. So, back to us. What does it mean for us today? So that's great, Jesus, you blew up the Death Star. Sweet. What about today in 2024? I told you that the Lord of hosts wants to fight through us, and if he's going to fight through us, he's got to be in us. I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to ask all of my biblical scholars in the room to help me figure this out, okay? I almost didn't make this statement because someone's going to stand up and go, you're a terrible pastor because you didn't already know this. But I searched and searched and searched, and I could not find a verse to disprove what I'm about to say. But I'm not saying this like, this is truth. I'm just telling you, this is something I thought about this week, and I studied it, and I'm pretty sure it's true. I'm asking you to do the same. We love to sing songs about how the battle is the Lord's. But that's Old Testament. You won't find a verse anywhere. I have not. I'm giving you permission to find it and show it to me. But I cannot find any verse in the New Testament that says that the battle is the Lord's. And we love that truth. God, just fight for me. Just fight for me. And he's like, I do. And I'll even fight with you, but I want to fight through you. I'm the Lord of hosts in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He wants to get in us so that he can fight through us. And the reason why he wants to be in us and fight through us is because we're the ones that are now armed and dangerous. We are weapons of mass restoration. He has planted his power in us. And just like he went as deep as he could to destroy the works of the devil, he has put his power in us so that he can plant us as deep as he possibly can in the darkest, hopeless situations so that we carry the power of the resurrection to that place. Zechariah 4:6 says this, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord Almighty." The Lord of hosts says, it's going to get done. But it's not because of power and all that. It's going to be by my spirit. Let me ask the church, not a trick question, where is the spirit today? He's in us. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. His spirit is in us. Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, if, I'll just say, yes, he is living in me. And because he's living in me, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. He's in me so he can work through me. And what does he want to work through me to accomplish? We know this already, right? A lifetime supply of candy. Tax returns every year. A new house, a new car. A new raise, a promotion. No, man. That's good stuff. But this is what Jesus came to do. Luke 4:18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And we read those words and we're like, go, Jesus! Do it! And then he says in John chapter 20, verse 21, he looks at his disciples and through them to us, and he says, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. Which means what I just read in Luke 4 is what we're supposed to be about. How do you set people free? You take the power of the resurrection that is in you, and you attach a fuse, and you just walk to the place where captives are. And you stand there and you say, all right, Father, whenever you're ready, blow me up. For too long, the church, follow this, has been content to display power around death and darkness. So here's what that does. I really don't want to blow anybody up, but can I have just, you want to come help me do something real quick? You just like stand here? Yeah, come on. You're fine. All right. Let's go over here away from that water because I don't want you to push me in. Okay, you're doing great. Now, just really quickly. So if I'm dynamite and I blow up right here, what happens to Emery? I mean, she could die. But let's just say she'll just move that way, right? Because the power pushes her out. Can I just submit this on Easter Sunday 2024? That's what the church is doing to culture. We keep blowing up in our little circle. We have our revival. They hear about it, and it just, that power pushes them further away. Check this out. Okay, I'm not going to really do this, but just kind of pin down a little bit. But if I got over, no, I'm sorry, you'd have to get over, I'm the dynamite, right? Oh, you'd have to get over me. You're just, and if she was over me and I blew up, it's a different story. What is she doing behind me right now? Is she trying to braid my hair? Do you see the difference between blowing up next to something and then being planted inside it and blowing up? It's night and day. Thank you so much. You did great. All that to get to this big idea. Because we don't like to talk about pain. We don't like to talk about suffering. Even today, when we start thinking about blood and the cross, we get a little bit like, what's that about? Oh, but give me some of that resurrection power, right? We love that part. But I need to share this big idea with you, and then we're going to close in prayer. God uses our pain to deliver his power. I need to talk through that for a second, because some of you are like, what? I don't think I want him to use my pain. I want him to get rid of my pain. He uses our pain to deliver his power. Why? Because it is in our brokenness that we are open, and when we're broken, God takes the power of the Holy Spirit and he just puts it as deep into that cut as he possibly can. Like the deeper the cut, the deeper his truth goes. And it just sits there. It just waits. It just waits on the Lord. And you've experienced this in your life. There's a verse in the Bible that says that we comfort people with the comfort that we've been comforted with. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody, and as they're telling you what they're going through, you're like, holy cow. Can you say that in church, holy cow? I just did. Holy cow. I've been through the same thing. And you almost can't wait for them to stop talking so that you can say, can I tell you something really quick? I've been through what you're going through. I've been through that. And you start to share hope with them because it's been planted in you. And that's how God dismantles the enemy. It's how he tears down strongholds. It's how he sets captives free. It's because the church gets a hold of this truth. Zechariah 2:5 says that God will be a wall of fire around Jerusalem. But here's what I saw about this week. He wants to be a wall of fire around people. Guess how he does that? Well, somebody says, I need prayer. And three or four people say, I'd like to pray for you. And they get around them. And because the fire's in me, guess what we just built around that person? We just built the wall of fire. It's all about the church, y'all. It's all about community. It's all about what we do now that he's risen. We can celebrate the fact that he's risen. We can have some phenomenal Easter services and some great Easter plays. But, y'all, that's not why he rose. He rose so that he could put his power in us. You're like a secret agent. Everywhere you go, you carry the power of God. And he's just like, when you're ready, we're going to ignite that power. And the resurrection power that brought Jesus out of the tomb is going to bring people that you know out of tombs. And some of you are here this morning. And here's how I want us to close. Can we just have some closing music? I don't know. What do you think? Sweet Home Alabama? Go Home Alabama? I'm kidding. Or maybe. I don't know. Piano, band, it's really whatever you want to do. It's become very awkward as I'm talking to you while you walk up here. I'm sorry. I can't stop. So in my mind, when I was thinking about how to end this, what I saw, we have a team that prays for people. And I knew that we'd have people in the room that might not normally come to church, but this applies to you. If you come every Sunday, this applies to you. But I knew that we would have people in this room that are broken right now, right? You're just going through it. And you're like, God, if that resurrection thing is real, like, when do I get to be a part of that? When do I get to feel that? Because I'm in a place right now where I'm not sure I'm seeing any of that. I'm not even sure it's real. And this morning, what he wants to give you is hope. He wants to plant hope so deep in you that you'll never lose it. We don't have time for this today, but I've told our church many times, like Wendy and I, we had just when my mom died, my brother died, her dad, we lost a lot of people in a very short amount of time. It was the worst season of our life. But our entire ministry is based in that season. It was like life just cut us open and God just started planting his goodness and his faithfulness deep in our hearts and our souls where we didn't even know it was. And years later, you can't convince me God's not good, y'all. You can convince me that I'll never understand God, and that's true, but I know he's good. I know he lives. I know no matter what I face, he's got it. He's got me. And that kind of hope has to get planted deep in us. And I'm sorry to tell you this, it doesn't get planted when you win the lottery. Win the lottery if you want to anyway, but you won't find hope there. Hope gets planted when we're cut. And some of you this morning are cut. It doesn't make you bad. It just makes you human. And people that want to pray for you, they've also been cut. I told somebody this week, the difference between a wound and a scar is blood. Scars don't bleed. Wounds do. And there are people that want to place their hands on you this morning and pray for you, and they're not going to bleed on you because they've got a scar. They can tell the story, right? Some of you are just like, I'm just a mess. God, I'm a mess. Would you close your eyes for a moment? God, my heart hurts for people who are hurting right now in this room, maybe watching online. And it's so tempting to say, I'm a mess, and I don't want anybody to see it. But the thing is, God, when we're really cut, when we're really hurt, we bleed everywhere. And God, this morning, my prayer is that you would give hope to the people in this room who think that there is absolutely no purpose in the pain. And that they would know this, the pain is actually how God's going to get his power in them. Power that heals, power that forgives, power that resurrects. This morning we come and we see an empty tomb. We see what Jesus has done. And we respond to it by saying, God, if you could raise him, then here are the broken pieces of my life. Could you do something with this as well? Just while your eyes are closed, here's what I'm asking you to do. If you would like to receive prayer, maybe you've never chosen to follow Jesus, we would love to pray with you about that. Maybe you've been following Jesus and you're just in a broken place right now. Like, life is hard, it hurts. You're experiencing loss. Your life is more crossed than empty tomb, right? We would just like to pray for you. We won't drag this out. Your response doesn't validate the message. But man, what we love to do at the gathering is just put our arms on people's shoulders and build a wall of fire around them. So if you're here this morning and you would like somebody to pray with you, would you just put your hand up in the air real quick? Yeah. If you see somebody's hand up near you, would you just put your hand on their shoulder right now? Would you just begin to pray with them right now? If you want to come to the altar, you can. You don't have to. Yeah. Kids, your parents have done great this morning. Tell your parents we're almost done. Let's just give some space. Let's make some space for Jesus right now. God, we pray right now for those who have raised their hands. I love to look out and just see pockets of people building fire, a wall of fire around friends. God, the people that we're praying for, they're yours. You've got them. You see them. Their pain is not something that you're trying to ignore. And right now, as we lay our hands on them, God, I believe this, that you are placing hope and life so deep within them. The deeper the cut, the deeper you can place that truth. And I pray, God, that you would just place it in them and that you would begin to light the fuse. Because there's somebody somewhere that they're going to carry that message of hope to. Man, send us to the darkest places, we pray. So that we can literally carry hope to the people that are there. Yeah. Yeah. Church, would you all stand with me together? I just want to commission you as you go out this week. If you happen to be in YouVersion this morning and read their verse, the verse of the day that I was reading this morning came from the account in the Gospels where the angel just simply said this, come and see where he lay, right? And then go quickly and tell Here's all I need you to remember about Easter. That he's alive. And God asks us to do two things. Come and see where he was, and then go and tell what he's done. And I just want to commission you this morning to go and tell what he's done, to carry the hope that's been placed within you to the people that need it the most. So, Father, I bless this gathering, Lord, and I ask that you would lead us this week into the places and to the people that desperately need hope, God. We live in a culture of death stars everywhere, God, that you want to send us to and blow up. I think of the death star of depression, the death star of addiction, the death star of division. God, these are things that are not from you, and you are equipping the body to take the good news of resurrection power into those places and see those kingdoms crumble. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all, thanks so much for being with us this morning. If you're a guest here, you're welcome back any Sunday. We have service at 9 o'clock. We have prayer on Wednesday nights at 7. And we don't pass offering plates. If you want to give, you can drop it in the back on the way out. Have a fantastic Easter Sunday. Go celebrate the risen King.